Hello, this is Anil Kumar from Back to the Bible radio broadcast. As we continue looking at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount with Dr. John Neufeld, we turn our attention now to Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 to 30. Let us listen now to a message called Honoring God with Your Body from our current series, The Greatest Sermon Ever Preached. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 to 30. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell.
We might look at Jesus' teaching on sexual desire and wonder how what he said is anything more than an ideal. I mean, in the real world, it is just not possible to actually fulfill that. We are, after all, sexual beings, and especially when we're younger and our sexual drive is at its peak, this kind of restriction seems impossible. Are we right? Let me give you a generalization. Like all generalizations, people will see exceptions, and I fear they're going to take exception. But good generalizations allow us to gain some understanding of broad categories. And here's what I think to be the tendencies of men and women. Men are excited by sight, and women are excited by relationship. Men can have sex, and it will be just that, sex. Men, women cannot. Oh, I'm more than aware that a different narrative is being advertised in our day today, but I think we're lying to ourselves. Men and women actually function very differently. The reason that Jesus addressed the man is that the man seems hardwired. To notice a woman by just one look, and immediately desire springs to life from a single glance. Let me illustrate that. A number of years ago, Kathy and I, along with another couple, went to an annual motorcycle show in our area. You should have heard our conversation. Both couples had decided to get a motorcycle and have adventure together as couples. The other man and I were drooling looking at the bikes. We said things like, I mean, look at the lines on that bike. Look at how the seat matches the tank. Look at the rear tire. I mean, that's fantastic. Look at the chrome on that bike. Don't you just love a V-twin? I wonder how that would sound because of those gorgeous pipes. I mean, are those from the manufacturer or are those aftermarket? I mean, that's how we talked, I'm going to tell you, for hours. And when I heard what our wives were saying, well, one of our wives said to the other, you know, that one is really suited to having an adventure together with my husband, and that one can handle packing all the stuff that we need, and that one will provide us with, you know, some practical difficulties in this area. And then she articulated what difficulty she was thinking about, and that one seems reasonably comfort to ride on for a long time, and that one makes sense, whereas the other one doesn't. Wow, our conversations really were different. And the reason for the different conversation is the difference between how the male and the female brain is wired. Men are excited by visual stimuli in itself without needing a context to it. Women want more holistic of approach that will include visual, but also relational dynamics, context, feel, emotion, relationship, all of that needs to be there. And pornographers have understood that. See, I read an article some time ago that talked about how pornographers are designing a new kind of pornography in which what is offered in terms of illicit sex is now connected to a wider relationship and its excitement. It's called pornography designed for women. And the point I'm making is that it really is possible for both a man and a woman to end in the same cesspool, but their pathway there is different. For the man, sight alone, without relationship, but the mere beauty of the female form can excite his desire to have and to claim that which God has forbidden of him. Hence, adultery is ignited in his heart with an amazing speed. But however we get there, the essence of the thing is always wanting something that we can't have. Whether it's the man who's gazing at images, or the woman who's dreaming about the perfect man from the romance novel that she reads, it is porneia. It comes from a dissatisfied heart, a heart that wants what God has said we must not have. But what's to be done about that? See, a man might say, I'll always notice a beautiful woman. Well, of course you will. And that's how you're designed, but that doesn't have to be ending in lust. It was Martin Luther who once said, you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from building a nest in your hair. So according to Jesus, the issue is not desire, which exists because of our sexuality. The issue is envy. It's covetousness. It's a spirit of dissatisfaction with what God has given us in grace. I'm about to speak explicitly. And if you have small children around, you may want to remove them. And you may wonder why I speak this way, but I think what I offer is effective counsel. See, one thing we can do with our sexual desire is to train it. And if you think about it just for a moment, you're going to notice how true what I'm about to say is. Think about style. So it doesn't matter. Everything from the style of clothing to the color of the clothing that you like to wear, to the rims and the tires on your car, to how you wear your hair. New styles are marketed so that after a while, we all want a new thing. Why is that? Because our tastes have been trained, well, by the media, by marketers, by recent trends, but we once thought was great, now has been shaped so that we actually desire something else. Now, men, here is straight talk to you. You can train your desires. If your wife is a brunette, listen, and repeat after me, you love brunettes. If she's a blonde, you love blondes. If she's short, short women turn you on. If she has a full figure, a full-figured woman is all that your heart desires. Begin to fill your mind with the idea that the wife that you have is the ideal of beauty that you have. Repeat it to yourself. Train yourself in it, and you will find that your desire is for what you have. Sexual desire is one thing, but who you desire is another. See, I once worked with a pastoral colleague who constantly told me of the beauty of his wife. Years later, I did his funeral, and at the funeral, his son-in-law was recounting his memories with his dad, and he remembered standing with his father-in-law, and he said, you know, your mother-in-law is the most stunning woman I've ever seen. And I had to smile sitting there listening to that. That man spent his entire life talking that way. You start desiring what you have, and you've won a major victory. But Jesus is not done. Look at verses 29 to 30. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away, and so forth. Now, please notice that this is not intended to be taken literally. You know, some of my hearers might be aware of the very sad case of an ancient Christian by the name of Origen, who actually castrated himself in supposed obedience to this command. You know, what makes that especially tragic is that Origen is the father of what has been called the allegorical method of Bible interpretation. I mean, that man took everything allegorically and almost nothing literally. So of all the things to take literally, what, you see my point. When we get to chapter 7, Jesus will speak about the guy who's unaware that he's got a Douglas fir tree in his eye. That was not to be taken literally either. So what is Jesus telling us? First, he wants us to know that we need to deal radically with sin. Whatever feeds a sinful imagination must be cut off. You know, someone's going to say, you know, I can't be on a beach and not lust. Well, don't go to a beach. Cut that activity out. Does that sound radical? Good. Let it be radical. Someone will say, I can't be on the internet when I'm alone. So don't be. Cut it off. I can't help but dream about the perfect man. Well, stop reading those soppy romance novels. Ask yourself, where are you most tempted? And cut yourself off from that thing. Be radical with your sin. And women, let me say something to you. Do you know you can dress in such a way as to look beautiful without being provocative? Be radical. And men, You can treat women with grace and never make a relational gesture towards her that would be construed as being alluring. Be radical. Why? It's better to lose that sexual titillation than to be thrown into hell. If you really thought that your eternity was at stake, wouldn't you do that? Wouldn't you treat everyone with modesty? Wouldn't you learn to make your spouse the object of your attention? That's what the seventh command is all about. Let's learn to desire that which God has for us.
What is the real issue when it comes to sexual sin? Jesus says it's about coveting something that is not our own. Only when we acknowledge the root of adultery can we begin to deal with it, first in our minds and then in our actions. A reminder that all of us must be vigilant and radical when it comes to overcoming the flesh and becoming men and women who honor God with our bodies. I hope this message has resonated with many of those listening to Jesus' teaching on this issue. Back to the Bible, leading people into a dynamic relationship with God. Our sincere appreciation to all the listeners for following the messages of Back to the Bible radio broadcast. We thank God for the opportunity to broadcast these messages from the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. But you can continue to listen to these messages online at backtothebible.in. That is backtothebible.in. Feel free to call us at 9492-440070. For more information, call us at 9492-440070 or by email info@backtothebible.in.